This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the BetRivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to Betting Weekly Formula One on the BetRivers Network.
Hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Formula One show in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. My name is Alex Feller, and joining me to look ahead to the action this week in Austin, Texas, is the motor racing correspondent for Reach PLC and the former F1 correspondent for the Racing Post, Neil Randon. Welcome back, mate.
Welcome back too. It's been brilliant to be here, actually. We've had a 3-week break. So it's nice to be back after what was a brilliant race last time.
I know, mate. Oh, and just reviewing on that race, you got all your bets right on Red Bull just about, mate. Max got pole at +100. Red Bull both on the podium at +140, 1-2 actually after the 5-second penalty for Leclerc. Winner without, I mean, you would have been cheering if you were watching that live. Without Max Verstappen at +285. You couldn't have believed your luck going into the the last corner. Vettel top 10 +110 cashes again for us, but a few that let us down. Alonso just missed top 6. Albon crashed out very early. The Stroll man, of course, he let us down like always. And you wouldn't read about it. Zhou Guanyu somehow got fastest lap.
That's incredible, isn't it? How did that happen? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. In fact, I didn't even realise that, to be honest. I thought it was Charles Leclerc, but clearly not. But no, it was a great race for us. I mean, like you say, I was just about to sort of throw in the towel in that last before the last corner because Sergio Perez didn't even look like he was going to get by it. Really, he was making all sorts of errors in exiting corners. He just kept doing the same thing every lap. He didn't change his tactic at all. I thought, this is not going to happen, this. And then Charles, thankfully, braked too late into the final chicane, went straight on into that last corner and got that 5-second penalty, and it got us that result, which was most welcome, I have to say. And the Alonso top 6 was literally missed out by 0.005 of a second. Literally, it's like a cigarette paper, that much.
Yeah, right.
Because the two of them were going for it down the straight after Alonso went up alongside. It was that close. And because you try to get up the inside and Sebu, I always thought he was a great guaranteed top 10 finisher there. He kept the sixth place and Alonso got the seventh, but just missed out. It was an extraordinary race all round. But as we said, Max Verstappen, I thought was going to wind up the championship that weekend, which is what he did. And he got pole position. He won the race. Didn't get fastest lap, which is a shame. But the actual truth of the matter is, though, it should still be up for grabs this weekend. It should never have actually been concluded the last race because the FIA messed up. They didn't sort their rule book out. The reason being that there was a loophole which allowed full points to be given for a race that actually should have only been half points. There's a loophole because the race was restarted and then finished rather than stopping when it did and then not restarting. They meant really to change that rule, but somehow, I don't know how, they managed not to. So full points were given and it meant Max got the championship, but he would have got it this weekend anyway, probably, even even if he hadn't got it then. We know, you know, he was getting nailed on for it. He was nailed on for it. But it was a great race. And you know, fair credit to him. I mean, he fair play to him. He drove superbly. I mean, in that first corner when he took Charles Leclerc around the outside of the first corner there, when he got that bad start, that was just a sublime piece of driving. It was magnificent. One in the race, probably, because then he had a clear track in front of him and he could always control everything, dictate everything from there on. But, yeah, great race. You know, it didn't finish the full distance, but it was still, you know, very entertaining.
Yeah, no, it was crazy looking at some of the, you know, the shots that they get from the driver's perspective on that first lap. Oh, I think there was one of Vettel great. On the off from the grid, and I don't understand how they let that race start, because he I couldn't see anything. That all you can see is like flashing lights, and that's it.
That's all they can see.
Yeah, it's like, scary.
All they can do is look at the light in front of them and see the light, and listen to the engine. Though, if they can hear the engine and hear the guy in front dropping down the gears, he knows to do the same. They literally are almost driving blind. It's just madness, really. And also, obviously, we know that there was a lot of things went on in that race, particularly with the recovery vehicle coming out onto the track. While the car's still going around, that was a crazy episode. We've been down that road before. And both times at Suzuka, we had Martin Brundle come off and hit a marshal a few years back. And then before, we obviously had Bianchi's crash, which resulted in his passing, which was a tragedy. And all avoidable incidents, and we didn't need to see that again. And hopefully that'll be the last time it will happen, because that was just really was not on.
No, 100%, mate. Before we get into this week's Grand Prix, any words on Max wrapping up the title, just to like maybe just summarize, like, you know, how dominant of a season it really was? Or do you think the way he's won the title and the margin he's won it by highlights, you know, how good Max is, how good Red Bull is? Or do you think it highlights maybe that there's quite a big gap in terms of, you know, the guys coming up, Ferrari, Mercedes? Do you think it's kind of them helping him out in terms of, you know, Ferrari tactics at times gave Max a massive helping hand? Do you think it's more, you know, Max being sublime or Max being helped out by some of the massive errors that the other teams have made throughout the season?
No, good question. That I would say it's 80-20 Max's ability and the team around him and how they've achieved the championship. I think, he's been fantastic this season, really. I mean, apart from those first couple of races, two or three races, they had a couple of retirements and they looked in trouble. And Ferrari were in the ascendancy. He thought, oh, well, I've got a chance here. Ferrari could make a battle of this. But like you say, Ferrari screwed up. They would have kept the title championship. They should have kept the championship going right through till, you know, at least the last couple of races. But they made some huge errors, as we know. I mean, a lot of the 20% of Max's championship was won by Ferrari by their errors. But overall, Red Bull and Max Verstappen have been a league above everyone else. They've just been fantastic. The team have just been faultless with their tactics, with their car. They've got this fantastic car. It's one more, you know, it's the most successful car in Formula One history in a season. They've won more races with that car than any other car in history. I know, obviously, there are more races now than there used to be years ago. So it's a little bit inaccurate to say it's the most successful in some ways, but they've been fantastic. And Max Verstappen, after getting the title last year, whether that was rightly or not, this year he's driven with so much maturity and he's driven brilliantly. And I just, you know, thoroughly deserves the title. He's the number one driver at the moment. Obviously, Lewis is still, you know, a big hitter, but he's not got the car under him. When he has a car under him, he'll give Max a run for his money again. But we just got to wait and see when that happens.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well said. We will now look ahead to this weekend as we, I'd love to one day, well, I would have loved to have looked at the Drivers' Championship market and constructors, but it's all kind of over.
there is one now. Yeah. It's all gone.
I know. I was hoping there'd be some kind of market out on, you know, who's going to finish second, but something along those lines. But unfortunately, there isn't. So yeah, let's skip ahead to the weekend. We go to Austin, Texas Grand Prix.
We do.
Yeah, mate. Look, talk us through what kind of track we have here before we look at all the odds. And what kind of drivers have done well in the past, and what drivers it may suit this time around.
Well, this is the Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. It's a great track, really good. Track crowds love it. They all travel in their droves to go to the track. I've done it the last couple of years, or last year they did. 56 laps, it's quite long as well. It's 5.5 kilometres, about 3.6 miles. And it's got 20 corners, so it's the third twistiest track on the calendar. I think it's only Singapore and Baku, I think, have more corners. But for all of that, there's some fast bits. It's a mixture. It's a mixture of different types of corner. And what they've done with the design of it as well, they took bits from lots of other tracks to make this track. They take bits of Silverstone with the Beckett's complex. They've added that type of complex to the track. They've got a bit of Hockenheim, the stadium section where they twist in and out very tight corners, and there's a bit of Suzuka and there's a bit of everything, and it's a mixture of fast and slow corners. It's predominantly a high downforce track, which favours some teams more than others. The DRS is really important here. There's two DRS zones. Where overtaking is possible, you know. Well, overtaking is possible in a few places, but these particular DRS zones are key. And there's some hard braking into, like, one of the DRS zones ends with a very tough turn 12 braking area, which is the most severe, they say, on the calendar for planting the brakes. So that's obviously an issue. Brakes and the wear out of brakes is key. Tire wear is going to be an issue as well. The other thing, it's a bit bumpy. It's a bit of a bumpy track, or it was, or has been. They've resurfaced it for this season, which hopefully will make it a little better. But that is a factor. So, it's challenging. There's lots of sections where there's a long section where the drivers are doing about 250 kilometers per hour. That's 155 miles per hour. It's a long, twisty section, and it's physically demanding for the drivers. So it's going to be, you know, it's a tough race for them, but they all enjoy it. So and of the drivers that have done well, we've had 9 races there since 2012 when it first went to Austin. Hamilton's won it 5 times, and Vettel, Bottas, and Verstappen of the current drivers that are still in Formula 1 have won it once. So those are the sort of the guys that are probably the best. Also, one other driver who's done quite well there in previous years is someone who's on a bit of a downward spiral, but may be a factor this weekend, is your man, Daniel Ricciardo. He goes well there. So
that's all we want to hear,
he
mate.
He may feature.
I thought for 1 second you were going to say Nicholas Latifi, and I thought, oh God, what's going on?
No, we're not going to be doing that. No, don't worry.
All right, mate. Well, I'll read out some of the odds here. So qualification to get on pole, Max same odds as last time, plus 100. Leclerc, plus 140. Sainz, plus 700. Perez, plus 1200. And then the race itself, Max minus 200, Leclerc plus 450, Lewis Hamilton plus 800, and Perez at plus 800. Now, you know, what you were going off kind of before, you were saying that, yeah, it's a twisty track, but it's got a bit of everything. So, you know, and reading out some of those winners you highlighted earlier, they were, you know, they're all from the big teams, your Red Bulls, your Mercedes in the past. So you would, you know, you're not, you know, there is a chance that someone from, outside of the big three teams, I guess, could win the race. But you know, being a twisty track, but it seems like, you know, you are going to need that car speed overall. Is there, yeah, anyone that's jumping out? Maybe this could be a race for Lewis Hamilton, because it sounds like it's a track for both skill and also, you know, having some force in the engine. So maybe something that Lewis possesses. What do you think, mate?
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, if you look back at, I was going to look back at Suzuka briefly. I mean, both those two Mercedes guys drove well. I mean, you know, Lewis had a great race with that battle with Ocon, but they had no straight line speed in a straight line. Just couldn't get. But even with you know, a bit of help with the airflow behind Ocon, just couldn't get by. So they've got problems with pace. Straight line speed, as we know, but this track is a relatively high downforce track where a big wing is going to be quite useful. And Mercedes have one of the biggest wings on the back of their car, so they are going to be a factor. We've got this first practice as well, which I looked at as a possibility. The trouble is with all these circuits we come to, particularly this season, is we've got no form guide at all. We don't know really how anybody's going to go. You know, that's why, you know, if we actually get any results, it's quite a big thing. You know, we did well in Suzuka. We got some good results there, and that. But it's based on just slithers of information, and it's going to be the same here. I think it's going to be very tricky. And first practice will have a major bearing on how this race turns out, I think. We'll have a good idea who's quick and who's not. I mean, it's just worth, I think, it's so true. It's so difficult. I mean, Verstappen's +125 in first practice. Leclerc is +165. Now, the other interesting one is Russell is +1100, but Hamilton is +1200. He's at a bigger price than Russell, which I find extraordinary. I don't quite know why that is, and I'm just tempted. First practice, everybody's, you know, it's all new. Anything can happen. Of actually going with Lewis Hamilton to be quickest in first practice at +1200, it's a long shot. I know it is. You know, particularly with Verstappen, probably going to be quick everywhere, as always. And the fact is, though, that, you know, Verstappen's won the title now. He can relax a bit. They're going to try and get Perez up higher up the grid to try and get that second place in the Drivers' Championship. I want to try and wrap up the Constructors, which they probably will anyway, even if they don't win. But I just think, because the other thing is Mercedes are bringing bringing their final upgrade of the season this weekend to Austin. So I think they're looking to try and get that second place in the Constructors title. So they really, really want this. It's a high downforce track, so which suits the Mercedes more than maybe the others. So just in first practice, because we know sometimes that they can tail off after that. I'm just going to go with Lewis for +1200 in first practice. I'm just chucking that one out there, just because I think that's a possibility. When it comes to qualifying, I don't necessarily think that's necessarily going to be the case, because obviously first practice, you've not just got one flying lap, you've got lots of laps to try different things. Qualifying's one quick lap. And when it comes to that, it's going to be between Verstappen and Leclerc, I think, for the pole, I would imagine. So with Verstappen at +100, I think Leclerc's +140 for qualifying. Yeah, could be between those two. Tempted just to go for Leclerc, actually, to get pole. Won't be much in it though. Not gonna be much in it. But I'm thinking that may be an option. That'll be where I'll start with anyway. Those are the two things. First practice and qualifying. We'll go big with Lewis to get fastest in first practice, and then Leclerc for qualifying.
All right, mate, nice. And then, yeah, heading into the Grand Prix, as I mentioned before, Max is a huge favourite. you know, doesn't have to really win any races anymore. So is that a worry for you? You know, is that something you'd want to avoid, backing Max at such short odds, considering he doesn't really have to win the race? He's maybe not going to take a huge risk to try and overtake to get first place or something like that. Or do you think it's kind of a non-factor and the -200 is justified?
Yeah, probably justified. I mean, the fact is he still wants to win as many races as he can. He's going for that record of most wins in a season. I think he still wants that. I think Schumacher still holds that with Lewis, but he wants that. I think one more Grand Prix win will give him it. So he's DMOB happy, really. He can do what he wants. He can try any which way of in setup. Got no pressure on him at all. Could take the edge off him. Could, maybe. Don't think he will. But then you got people like Charles Leclerc, who really still wants to try and finish second in the championship. Ferrari still want to take second in the constructors. And they've got Mercedes still in the hunt. I think, can't remember any points they are behind. They're only about 67 points behind, I think. That's what I've seen in the constructors. So anything's possible there. So it could be quite an eventful race because people are trying all sorts of different things. Max at -200. Yeah, I'm not. I probably would steer away from that this weekend. I didn't see any options for the winner without Max, but even in that regard, I think the chances are we'll go with Charles. I think try and get Charles to win this +450 Ferrari. They'll go well here as well. There's a lot of slow stuff that suits them around this circuit. There's a mixture of different options there that will suit the Ferrari, I think, as well as the Mercedes. And I mean, I know I said a few weeks back, I thought Mercedes were probably the quicker out of the two. I've changed my mind again. I think it's actually Ferrari are quicker than the Mercedes at the moment. So I'm going to go for Charles to win the race at +450, I think.
All right. Nice.
Yeah, mate. I think so.
All right, mate. Let's have a look at some of your favorite markets, the top 10, the top six, done quite well there lately. Is there anything that's catching your eye? I'm trying to find the odds here.
I know, I couldn't find any either. I didn't see any. I looked earlier. But what I'll do is I'll give options if those markets appear in the next few hours, which they could do, or tomorrow. Don't forget, we've still got 3 days before, when we record this, it's still 3 days before the actual Grand Prix. So there's still possibilities there. Top three. We'll go from top three down to top 10. Top three. I might go for Lewis, actually. I think there is a market there. He's +110, I think, to be top three. I think he's got a chance to finish in the top three. Lewis has. I mean, he'll be going for it. Goes well around. I mean, he's won it five times. And he knows the track. It's a challenging track. He enjoys the technicality of it. So he'll be up there. Then it'll be Verstappen, Leclerc, and Hamilton will be up there at the finish. And I think Leclerc will win it probably from Verstappen and Hamilton. That's the way I see it. As a top one, two, three. That's right. Look back at the podcast that we did for Suzuka, and I got the 1-2-3 right for the Grand Prix there. But I don't think Perez will. I mean, they want Perez to feature, but I mean, he's not got great form around this track. He's got his chance the following week when he goes to his home race. That'll be the one that he'll want to do well in. Then we've got top six. Now, there's two options here. I think obviously you've got the Red Bulls and the Ferraris and the Mercedes are probably all going to finish in the top six. But I really wouldn't count out Daniel for this. Daniel Ricciardo. He's got a great record around there, and he did last year. And he finished in front of Lando Norris last year in the race. I know he's on a bit of a downer at the moment. He's leaving McLaren. He's probably going to take a year off, he says, try and get your head straight and come back fighting a bit. But with the pressure now off, I think it may end up helping him a little bit. So if he gets I could see him maybe getting a top six finish, plus 400-ish. If he can get plus 400 or bigger for Ricciardo to finish the top six, it's worth a little dabble, shall we say. I wouldn't go too mad, because it's just small bets here.
I'm having a look around at what might be available, and yeah, it looks like plus 400 should be available.
That'd be about right. Yeah. So yeah, I think so. Just a small little side bet, really, pick. And then top tens, I'd go for him again. Plus, you know, he's going to be around even money, I suppose, for a top 10 finish. There's three top tens here I would go for if we knew what the odds were. But Daniel Ricciardo, if he's around even money, probably or a bit better than that, say so 100 plus 110, something like that, that would be good. Seb Vettel, always got to have seven. We've gone for Seb Vettel now. I can't even remember how many times for a top 10 finish, and 9 times out of 10 he delivers. He's just done the job. He's done the business these last few races. He's been driving superbly. Drove superbly in Suzuka after spinning out on that first corner you were referring to earlier. I mean, and he came back because of the team made a great call, bringing him in from intermediate tyres. And he flew after that and, you know, finished sixth. I don't think he'll be doing that this weekend, but he could finish in the top 10. So if he can get around what he normally is, he's normally around plus 110. If he can get that, I would grab that, because he's got a good chance. And the other guy, which I went for last time as well in Suzuka, is Alex Albon again. If we can get Alex Albon at a reasonable price for a top 10, I would go for him, because I think it was one of the practice sessions at Suzuka, it was dry. It's a bit of a power track, Suzuka. I think he was about 12th quickest, you know, way quicker than a lot of guys that should be in front of him. He's driving really, really well, is Alex. And so I would give him a chance at a top 10 finish, definitely, because he's when he was driving for Red Bull, he got a decent finish there 1 year. So, yeah, I would go with that. And then finally, I think fastest lap would be, I don't know whether there is a fastest lap market. Can't remember. I think I did see one, I thought.
Yeah, there is, mate. There is.
Yeah. I'm going to have Lewis Hamilton again. Go for plus 700, Lewis Hamilton. Just think, you know, end of the race, maybe put on some soft tyres. And they're using a lot of this stuff at the moment. Not only they're trying to catch Ferrari, but they're using a lot of these final races. Now the championship's over and done with, there's almost like practice sessions to see what they can get garner for next year. So I could see him grabbing a quick time at the end of the race. So if he gets there, plus 700 Lewis Hamilton for the fastest lap.
Yeah, and you didn't mention odds for Albon top 10. Are you looking at that plus 300 kind of mark again?
Yeah, well, that'd be good. No, I think that would be, yeah, definitely well worth it. Yeah, in fact, you know, as the top 10s go, I mean, as a value, I think that's particularly good value. Yeah, I think they're quite reliable. Because don't forget, the guy you just mentioned who, in a derogatory fashion, may I say, was Latifi. And a great finish. You know, got another finish at Suzuka. So he's not done too badly. Goes well in the wet. That's the thing. He goes well in the wet. There's a teeth. He comes out on his own. But I don't know what the weather is. Probably going to be dry for the weekend. But yeah, we'll stick with those. I think they're pretty reasonable. I mean, it's a bit of a stab in the dark, really, because like we say often, we don't know exactly who's going to end up doing well. You know, which cars are going to be particularly suited to the track, because none of them have been there before. So, and this track is unlike many of the others, as is the next weekend's, and Mexico is another one which is different. So, but it's a challenge. But I think you've got some, you know, fair picks here, I think.
All right, mate. Normally we look at the matchups, but I'm not seeing any odds there on Bet Rivers, nor anywhere else. So it's going to be very difficult to look at that. So why don't we just fast forward to your favorite bet of the week, and we've gone through, lots in the top 10, top six market, top three, and then obviously practice qualifying Grand Prix winner. Mm. mate, any one or two that are really taking your eye, or are you just going to mention three. Every single bet like normal?
Yeah, probably. I think Charles to win the race plus 450 is worth. Yeah, I think that looks like a decent value pick. To maybe oust Max just on this one occasion. I always like Sebastian Vettel at plus 110. You can't not. He's just great value for a top 10 finish. And I think maybe, oh dear me, I don't know. Maybe Hamilton for top three, I think at plus 110. I think that's possible. So yeah, Leclerc plus 450, Hamilton top three plus 110, and Vettel plus 110. Maybe the best. So I like all of them, really.
Yep. Good stuff, mate. If this is your first time on the YouTube channel here at the Bet Rivers Network, please make sure you subscribe and get alerted to all the great content we have here. If you're on Twitter, make sure you follow Neil at nrandonfactor and myself at alexvilla_. And then Neil potentially might be on the at because we win Twitter channel throughout the Grand Prix, or throughout the week, updating it and keeping us informed as to, you know, what's happening in practice, qualifying and all this stuff, and maybe throw
particularly in practice.
Yeah. Very important part of our Formula One betting. So keep informed with that. But other than that, we'll be back next week for the Grand Prix in Mexico, which should be fun, mate.
Yeah. It will be good. Yeah, that's a great track. That great atmosphere. It's one of those I'd really, really love to go to if I've got the opportunity. I haven't been to Mexico. I'd love to go.
You'd look good on the beach in Mexico too, mate. All right, we'll see you next week.
Cheers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Formula One on the Bet Rivers Network.